closed doors.
It's basically the pimp game from college. What team are you on?
Be a good follower so you'll be ready to lead.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie,
being mentally strong.
Everything is about me.
It must have been 50 different faces.
Growing up, you know, where you don't even have your own birthday.
Hey, homies.
What up, homies?
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Woo woo.
Welcome back.
My woo was a little struggle. Woo woo.
Are you hoarse? Are you sick?
No, I'm feeling great, actually. I had a fantastic, productive week. So I'm in the zone.
All right. Well, let's get it.
So what we're going to talk about today, we've hit on this topic a little bit in some of the earlier podcasts. A couple of them, the squad goals, personal board of directors, but basically the importance of having a mental health, being mentally strong and taking care of yourself mentally.
Yes. And as the homies know, we have never shied away from this topic. And as Bimitra said, we have always been very clear or transparent about the fact that both of us have engaged in mental health fitness, if you will, by going
definitely
to see
fitness
by going to see a therapist. And so we've had a lot of questions about, you know, why did you get a therapist? When do you get a therapist? What is mental health? How do you know if you're mentally healthy? Things of that nature. So we thought we would just do an episode sort of about ourselves, why we decided to go to therapy, what we think is mental health, mentally healthy, all that good stuff.
Put it out there where the homies can reach it.
Right. Putting it where you can reach it.
All right. So I think the first thing I want to say is, everybody needs to do a checkup to make sure that they are mentally fit, mentally strong. And I think sometimes when we think about it, we think about, oh, that's for quote unquote crazy people. But this is about, you know, your mental state, your emotional state, your psychological state. And sometimes that feeds into your social state.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that people, or at least for me, I think mental health, and especially a lot of my topics and tips will be on actually engaging a therapist. And a lot of times people think of, I've my approach, I guess, to a therapist is a lot like a trainer. There's two ways to sort of approach it. There is the, I'm getting married, or I have a specific issue that I want to address. Like, I'm getting married and I want to get in shape for a wedding, or I had something come up in my life, or I have not addressed a specific issue, and therefore I think I need a therapist to help me through this issue, like a kind of address something very pointed. And then there are the people who are like, I like being in shape all the time, and I have a therapist all the time. I go see a therapist. I have a regular kind of standing appointment once a week or every 2 weeks or once a month where I check in with my therapist to make sure that I'm good.
Yeah, I definitely put myself in the latter as it relates to mental health. But what I will say is, when you do have a schedule, and one of the things that I really had to fight, because, you know, I don't go regularly. I have like monthly or quarterly, and sometimes I'm missing appointments or what have you. My schedule gets out of the way. And then, you know, I have this belief that me and my therapist are friends, and then I don't want to call her just when something is bothering me. You know, whether that be a loss, you know, a death in the family, or, you know, whatever it may be, something that's, you know, a breakup or what have you. And Dee always reminds me, like, y'all not friends. That's what she's there for. Call and make an appointment. But I definitely think that we want to stress that, you know, going on some type of regular schedule, whatever makes sense for you, is not any kind of sign of weakness or sign of instability. You know, we're not here talking about mental illness. We're here talking about mental health.
Correct. Although I will be completely honest and say the first thing that led me to a therapist was trying to address a very pointed issue. And so there's nothing wrong with that. As well, you know, I didn't sort of go in with this sort of, I just want to be mentally healthy. I knew that there were some things that I had not addressed, in my own life. There have been very big issues. And even now when I'm on a regular schedule, like a once a week, it has been at times that things have been very hard. And I knew, like, I want to come in on a regular basis because one session is not going to get, it's not going to be enough.
Right. So, I would say one of the first benefits, even before you, Dimitri, I know you want to talk a little bit about how to choose one, but for me, you know, just mental, good mental health leads to good physical health. When you're in a good mind space, it allows you to be better physically. It's just like you're able to get better rest. You're probably more or less eating better. You're more, able to, head on challenges at work. You're better in your friendships. You're better in your romantic relationships. So I think that good mental health leads to strong physical health, not necessarily the other way around.
Oh, that's interesting, because that actually leads right into my first point, which was, you know, the biggest benefit that I think that you get from, you know, going to see a therapist on a regular basis is that it helps you create, you know, more healthy, or I had more effective habits. And so, I think the biggest thing it really has helped me with is, even though you sort of go in for yourself, and I would say this, let me just veer off for a moment. The thing that I most enjoy about seeing my therapy, it is the only time in my life that everything is about me. Certainly growing up, you know, where you don't even have your own birthday, I always say it's like this: when you are trying to address an issue, even with friends or family, you always want to make sure you're careful about how it might impact others or how they feel. And therapy isn't like that. So you don't have to say things like, I love my sister, she's very important to me, semicolon, however, I hate when she does. You just go into therapy and start.
It's
there.
Like on the Devil Wears Prada movie, where they all hate the boss, but then they think like some secret person is listening. They're like, but we're yes! lucky to be here. We're lucky to have this job.
They call it runway turnaround in the book, right? And so, yeah, a thousand girls would kill for this job, right? And so I feel like it has really helped me develop really healthy, effective habits, in being careful about the way I speak to people and the way that they're speaking to me. And so I completely agree with you. And that, to me, that's the most beneficial thing that I've gotten from therapy, is healthy, effective habits.
All right. What's your next tip?
My second thing is, it is a collaborative way to come up with solutions. So, you know, it is you and the therapist together, talking out your issues to come up. So, you know, my experience is not, it's not like on TV where it's just like, where, how did that make you feel, Dimitra? And I've been to more than one therapist. I've had, women therapists, I've had male therapists, and I've had,
have you ever had a white therapist?
I've had a white therapist, and I've had them, you know, my age and younger and older, and I've never had any of them do what like they do on TV. It is a collaborative space, I think, where they do get to know you, which is why you do start feeling like you are friends, because I think that, you know, that is what they are gifted in and trained in, is to understand your personality and help you come up with a plan, an effective way to deal with the people and the issues in your life.
Yeah, so just, you know, piggybacking on what Dimitri was saying, the tools that you get allow you to be incredibly effective, because, as Dimitri mentioned, you don't have to, they give you so many tools on how to communicate with, you know, the other people in your life, and to learn how to take what you're hearing and put your spin on it. And to me, it just gives you a much better way to communicate the tools that you're able to get. My fourth tip is, you know, one of the things that I like to do to be mentally strong is to do at least one thing every week that's difficult for me to do. And we talked a little bit about this in the procrastination, because, you know, you go to therapy and you get your tools, but do you have like homework that you need to be doing at home to basically reinforce everything that you're getting from the therapy? So I like to try to implement at least one difficult thing that's mentally hard for me to do at least once a week.
And is that something that the therapist taught you to do? Is that something that you learned from your therapist?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Right. It's just, you know, whether that is, you know, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, getting up and being disciplined about going to the gym, or it could be anything, but just learning how to do one tough mental tough thing each week.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. My therapist has never heard that. I've never heard of that, but that's actually a really good thing. You know, one of the things I want to be really clear about, you know, when we talk about this topic is, it's not a substitute for your faith. And so, you know, I know we get that from a lot of homies, like, I don't need therapy. I got Jesus.
I think that's, very much, a culture thing.
Yes, for
sure. And when I say culture, I mean a Christian culture thing, not a race thing, not a gender thing, not a Black people thing, not a Latino. It's a Christianity thing, that because Christianity is all about faith, it's like, then as long as we've got Jesus, everything's going to be fine.
Right. And you can have Jesus plus a therapist. And one of the things that I've always done when I was looking for a therapist, when I got into therapy this time, and I've now been in the therapy on a regular basis, probably now for the last 10 years. And what drove me to therapy on a regular basis this time was our parents were getting divorced. And so when our parents were getting divorced, we grew up in a very happy home, an extremely happy home. And so almost like the Cosby Show, if you will. And so,
I mean, we won a Family of the Year award, like,
right, for the Air Force. Right. So it's like a super, super happy time. And so when our parents divorced, we were grown.
It was devastating.
And it was devastating.
And we were 30.
And it was so devastating. And there really wasn't anyone who could help with that.
Because the people who normally help you were the people in the middle of the mess.
That's what I was about to say. So the people who I lean on the most for help are my mom and my dad and my brother and my sister. And my mom and dad were getting divorced, and my brother and sister's parents were getting divorced. And so nobody was actually able. And so I remember feeling like I remember saying that to the therapist the first session, like, I feel like I'm handling this okay, but I'm actually here to make sure that I am actually handling it okay. And I need some tools because we're going through, and I just need some tools for me, you know, to make sure. But when I was looking for the therapist, I remember also introducing and saying, look, my faith is incredibly important. And so it is important to me that you know that as I make decisions, since we will be collaborating, that my faith and Jesus and prayer and fasting and all of that is going to be a part of the way that I make decisions. And so you know, just making sure the therapist knew that that was the gig.
Right. No different than when you're trying to, you know, complete a task at work or get a promotion. Not only do you work hard, but you pray about it. And your mental health and your therapy is the same way. It goes hand in hand. The next thing that I would say is, don't be afraid to be vulnerable. And that was really, really hard to give into that process of just being incredibly transparent. It took me quite some time to understand that it is, you know, not to sound corny, a safe place where nothing is going to be, you know, revealed. So and you really can kind of like going to the doctor. If you fail to share with the doctor that you drink a fifth of bourbon a day, it's going to be very difficult for them to diagnose whatever you have because they don't have all the information. So I think getting the most out of therapy is the same way. You've got to be 100% and completely transparent.
Yeah, I mean, that is a really great point. And it's hard. Transparency is so difficult because you know, what you'll find is if you and most of the homies probably are a lot like us, you're super competitive. You want to look good. And therapy isn't the place to do that. So you have a tendency to want to be in there and be like, I'm your best therapy patient. I'm making the most progress. And so that tends to make you want to lie and to not be frank about, you know, I actually cried last night, or I actually had a hard day and I don't know why I broke down. And you can't really do that to get the most out the sessions. You know, it's like, again, to liken it to a trainer. If you don't tell the trainer that you ate 2 Snickers, then both of you guys are confused about why you're not losing weight.
But like training, the trainer knows that you're not following the eating plan because you're not ultimately losing weight. So something is off.
Right.
There is a disconnect.
Right, or they think you're sick and they're trying to send you to the doctor because they're like, oh my goodness, you're following this, you know, this plan to the T, and yet you're not losing any weight. Maybe you have some type of illness.
Turns out, nope, I just eat ice cream at midnight.
Right. And so you just have to, and so then they can start helping you when you're like, well, something happens between these, you know, these hours, which takes me into my next point. I feel like, you know, having a therapist is so helpful to help ease stress. So sometimes, like Bimitra said, when I am having super stressful days, and I never want to mislead anyone, I have super stressful days.
You mean being a lawyer is stressful?
And life, forget the lawyer, just life in general. And I will text my therapist and say, I need an appointment this week. You know, can I come in? And it is amazing to me sometimes how some weeks you can have big things happen and tackle them amazingly well for months. And then the next time something really mundane can really knock you out. And I've just learned to, flow with the moments and be honest, like you said, about what is actually doing that, and knowing that this is something that's going to help ease stress.
Right. And in that same vein, I didn't even know until I went to therapy when I was experiencing stress. So I wasn't the kind of person that said, I feel stressed. You know, I always felt like I have a good life. I have a job that I'm fulfilled with for the most part. I have enough money to pay all of my bills. I'm able to vacation. And I felt like there are people out here with real things to be stressed out about, and I wasn't one of them. And therapy really helped me to understand, like, hey, no, your life is your life. And sometimes, and so just a small thing that she suggested that has been incredibly helpful to my life, and sounds so silly, is she has encouraged me to shoot around before I go to work. Because I actually love basketball and it relaxes me. And as silly as that sounds, I hadn't picked up a ball in years because my knees are so bad. But now, like, just shooting around for 15 minutes after a workout before I go to work puts me in like the best mood. It's almost like channeling 10-year-old Bimitra. So that's what I would say about, you know, the whole handling stress thing.
Yes. And I have the same problem as well. I am not one, you know that we're not ones to be, oh my gosh, I had such a stressful day. And so, but that doesn't mean that you didn't have a stressful day. So that's a great point. My last point about the benefits of, you know, attending and having a therapist and being cognizant of mental health is, it has given me such a new perspective on my situation and my problems. I probably don't think of them as much as problems anymore. I think I grace myself, or I try to grace myself more, think of them more as just hurdles, something that I am going to cross, that I am going to get through, something that I'm not so much like, oh, this is just something unique to me. I'm so weird. I'm so different. I don't feel that way. Now that I actually engage into this, you know, exercise of mental fitness.
Oh, that's a good thing. Basically, you have feel like you're not alone. Right. The biggest takeaway is just being aware of my feelings. I wasn't really in tune, but with only two emotions prior to therapy, happiness and anger. And I remember I got this exercise that had, it must have been 50 different faces. Think about emojis and excited, anxious, happy, blah, blah, blah. And she challenged me every day when you get up in the morning, I want you to pick one of these. And then every day in the evening when you get home before you go to bed, I want you to choose one. And I found I was only choosing like two things there out of like 50 choices. And now I'm more aware of like, oh, wait, no, that's being anxious. Oh, no, that's actually, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. You know, that type of thing. And I think it's because, you know, we're such cerebral people. We're not led by our emotions. And so when I would start to try to talk about how I felt, I was always using thinking words. And so now,
what do you mean by that? So what do you mean by that?
Instead of saying, I'm anxious, you say, I've got a lot going on. I just need to buckle down and focus, you know, just different things like that. So not, that's mm-hmm. that's not a feeling. That's a thought. That's a process. And I think that we are both of us very cerebral people. We're not, we're just not people who are led by emotions, and that can be good and bad.
Yeah, that is very true. And I think we can all agree on that. I also want to just, you know, tell the homies that almost everyone's organization has an employee assistance program, and usually you get, and that's kind of how I did mine at the beginning. You usually get two, I think, or three free sessions.
Whatever your insurance allows. With, yeah.
Right. Allows you to get. So it's something that's actually free. And to me, what that says is that our organizations actually believe that you might need a couple of sessions a year, just on general principle, again, kind of demonstrating that it's not something that is unusual or something like that, that people might need. Another great one, if you don't have an EAP, there is a thing called the Open Path Collective, which you can just Google. And I believe they do sessions like via Skype or FaceTime with licensed therapists. They're only like $30 to $50 a session, which makes those pretty affordable as well.
Versus like a standard $125 an hour or something like that.
Right. And then, of course, most people's insurance covers actual therapy sessions as well, which you just pay in your copay. So I just want to sort of put out some ways, if you're curious about, well, can I afford therapy, or I can't afford therapy, how would I go? It's not something for, you know, rich people, which a lot of people, there's a misconception that that's the case.
Right. And the last thing that I would finish with is it could be big or small things that lead you to go talk to someone. It doesn't have to be some big, huge thing like, you know, Demetria mentioned our parents getting divorced. It could be the coworker that you can't find a way to get along with, and you've tried everything that you know. It could be that I don't want to bicker with my sister all the time, or I don't want to be short with my kids. I want to have more patience. Therapy is not just for the big things. It can be a collective of small things, or just even something small. It doesn't always have to be some life changing huge thing that nudges you and leads you there.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we know people too that are just like, I just haven't seemed to hit happiness. Like I got married, I had kids, I bought the great house, I got the great car. I still don't.
My husband's good looking. My wife is hot.
Right. And I still just don't have this.
I got an emptiness.
I still have an emptiness. That's right. I still have an emptiness. And I just want to go and say, why haven't I hit my contentment? And so that is something that we know more than one of our friends that has led them to go in and talk to somebody, because they're like, I've checked all my boxes, and yet I'm still not feeling like
there's
something missing. Mm-hmm. There's something missing. I got.
And Jesus is already there. So there's something still missing.
That's right. So, we hope this episode has been helpful. We know this can be a little bit taboo at times, and we wanted to take some of that out.
Absolutely. And we give a lot of feedback and topics and advice. And, you know, one of the things we always want to do is be true to the homies and be as transparent as we can be, as Demetria and I can be. So As always, we hope that, you know, thank you so much for listening. We would love to get your feedback on this topic. Please feel free to inbox us or send us any feedback that you have at info@corporatehomie.com or any questions you have at questions@corporatehomie.com.
Yep. And as always, you can find us on all of the social media platforms. We're at Corporate Homie. Homie is H-O-M-I-E. And our website is corporatehomie.com. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.